I'd ask you to turn to the book of Philippians again. We're going to go back to Philippians and chapter 2 this morning. Paul writing to the church at Philippi here as we're studying the Word of God this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for such a beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for your precious word and precious opportunity, Lord, to sing praise to you this morning. And Lord, I pray just as we've even just sung here in these last couple of minutes, Lord, that we would truly stand in awe of you this morning. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just be in this place and throughout this land. Lord, as we come together as a church family to study your word and to hear from you this morning, from your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would just speak your words through me. Lord, today that as your church, we might receive the message that you have for us today. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, Paul writing here to the church at Philippi, beginning in verse number 1 this morning. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This morning is Paul challenges us in these verses this morning. I would consider, just as we start out looking at the very first verse there, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. He says, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, he says, fulfill ye my joy. As Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, we see the same message to the church this morning. And I wonder if there be any consolation in Christ. Paul brings a thought and a reminder to us this morning to think about relationship with Jesus Christ, to think about what it means to know Him, first of all, as our Lord and Savior, to know what it means to fellowship in the things of Jesus Christ. As he mentions it there for us in verse 1, the comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. He says, in a way that probably we may not necessarily talk in our normal everyday conversation today, Paul takes us to a reminder of really knowing what it means to know Jesus Christ this morning. And I would challenge you in your heart and your life today to consider what does it really mean to you individually this morning to know Jesus Christ? Do you really know Jesus Christ? And we consider this morning in the life of the church today and think about in the world around us, there is a small understanding of Jesus Christ from a lot of individuals today. There's a knowledge that from a historical standpoint that he was alive, that he walked on this earth. We know, obviously, from Scripture that there's much more than just a historical account of a man named Jesus. But there is a call for people today to truly know who Jesus is. And this morning in the life of the church, we have opportunity to consider today that God has called us into relationship through Jesus Christ. It's without a doubt this morning we know what relationship is like. You have family, you have friends, you have coworkers, you have neighbors and strangers down the street even that we might consider today that in some fashion or another you would have a relationship with him. Might be limited. And it might be, in some instances, deeper than is explainable in human words today. But we know relationship, and God has designed us in our human nature for relationship. And as Paul challenges to the church at Philippi here to consider these things of Christ, he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and then he says, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. He gives a deep description of what it means to know Jesus Christ. It goes more than just simply saying, I know Jesus Christ individually. I know in my mind that there is a God that loves us and that he sent his one and only Son to the cross. We've celebrated that in recent days. We've talked about it in recent days together as a church. But I wonder this morning, is it important enough for you to know who Jesus really is for you today? Is it something that is important in your life on a daily basis to celebrate relationship with Jesus Christ, to celebrate knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to live in that fellowship? He says fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit takes it beyond a physical thing, right? We recognize today we cannot touch our spirit. We cannot physically touch the Spirit that is within us, but the Spirit of God touches our spirit. The Spirit of God moves about freely. We can't see it, but we can see the evidence of it. And hopefully this morning in your heart and your life as an individual that you have come to saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you can say that you've done that in your heart and your life, then you know fellowship of the Spirit. But I wonder this morning in the heart of the church, what really is that fellowship look like today? What does fellowship in the Spirit look like this morning in the life of the church? A reminder and challenge for us to consider today that even though we can't physically fellowship together as we would like to or as we're accustomed to doing, I found it very challenging for myself, or most of you that know me, I enjoy shaking hands with people. That has been one of the hardest challenges of my life in the last few weeks. Learning that that is not okay for most people right now. I was taught from a very young age that that was respectful. When you came into a conversation with somebody, that you shook your hands with them. Not one of those wimpy little ladylike handshakes. I was kind of scolded like that one time when I was a young man, that that was not how you shake hands. And so shaking hands was a sign for me that I was in agreement with people, that I was excited about seeing people, that I wanted to be in fellowship with people. And so I've done that my entire life. And so I can't do that from 6 feet away. I've been trying to figure out how I could maybe get with Kirk and George and they could help me create a 6 foot long pole that still shakes hands with people, that maybe I could hand sanitize before I did that or something. But you know, it's one of those things that's kind of a difficult challenge for me. I enjoy those kinds of things. Some of you are huggers. I know that might be challenging for you right now. But the encouraging word that we have from the book of Philippians here is that Paul understood fellowship of the Spirit. And we need to celebrate that this morning. We need to celebrate true fellowship of the Spirit is not bound by the things that we can see and we can do, how we touch or encourage others in handshakes or hugs or fellowship together, but that we can truly fellowship in the Spirit this morning. And I hope you fellowship with me this morning, as you allow the Holy Spirit to work and move in your life this morning. And as Paul challenged here, he says, even in any bowels and mercies, he takes it beyond the Spirit into the bowels, to the deepest parts of who we are. To our insides, to the things that we don't see. Most of us don't want to see the insides of our body. That's kind of intended to be on the inside, and that's where God put it. That's where it ought to stay. But as Paul challenges to the church, we get involved that deeply with the Holy Spirit today. That the Spirit of God would move freely in our lives, and we would understand the bowels of mercy. We would have built within us this morning in the life of the church an attitude of mercy and love that the world needs to see today. Without a doubt this morning, our world around us, the community of Fowler and our surrounding areas, our state, our country, our world needs to know the Holy Spirit's movement. They need to see the love of God in their life, and they need to recognize it through the body of believers that we call the church today. And Paul brings a challenge to the church of Philippi in verse 2. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy." Paul's joy as an individual follower of Jesus Christ was to lead others to relationship with Jesus Christ. Throughout the Word of God, we see in the life of Paul, we see, first of all, in a testimony of his life, that he was brought to relationship with Jesus Christ in a very unique way, right? We remember Scripture tells us that he was very literally struck down, that he was blinded, that he was led by hand by a friend into the city, and then introduced to a man of God and introduced to the truth of God through those things. And he recognized the Spirit of God in a way that most of us probably haven't. And in that instance there, we see a challenge that he brings to the church at Philippi and to us this morning as the church. His joy is in knowing that others could meet that same Jesus, that others could meet that same relationship of the Spirit. And he says to the church at Philippi, and I believe to the church this morning, "Fulfill ye my joy." Continue to fulfill the joy of my heart. The joy of Paul's heart was that others would meet Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning to find that joy as the church. To find that joy in your own heart, in your own life this morning, to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then when we know Jesus Christ, that it would truly be the joy of our life this morning to help others to meet Him today. To make that our priority. He says that you would be like-minded. We understand for us to be like-minded, I know without a doubt in our human mind today, in my life and my actions, the things that I think and the things that I do are not always in line with what others do. The way that I think just physically in my own mind about certain things are different than a lot of individuals. We come to a place of like-mindedness in the church. We have to understand that it means we're not living in our own mind. but that we're living in the mind of Christ. And that's what he challenges here in these verses. Having the same love, he says. Being of one accord, of one mind. And this morning, the message for the church is to be in one mind. To be in accord together, he says. Being of one accord and in one mind and one fellowship. And we can only do that through the mind of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider that we find the mind of Jesus Christ and we find it through his word. We find direction and understanding in the church today. We find it individually when we study the word of God. We determine his direction for our life and we make decisions to follow those things. I know personally in my own individual life, when I've made up my mind to do something, for most of you that have been around me for very long, you find out that's just the way I operate. When my mind is made up, I'm going to move in that direction. I'm going to do those things until I know that I have accomplished what was set before me to get done. And honestly, I'm not very content until it's done. I'm kind of just in my own mindset. I work that way and I like projects to get done and started and finished and move on to the next thing. And it's a challenge that I deal with every day physically. But I think about emotionally, spiritually this morning, the mission that God has given to the church today is to have that kind of a zeal, to have that kind of mind and recognize this morning that God's work is not yet finished on this earth. That the movement of the Holy Spirit is still an active part of our life today and that he has called us to be in one mind and to one thought, to be in that same attitude of love. He says, having the same love. And we recognize today that the way that we love is different, right? For each one of us, we live love in different ways. We show our love in different ways. But the great joy of knowing Jesus Christ is his love is the same no matter what. His love for us is the same as it is for every other person in this universe. His love for us was exhibited on the cross through sacrifice and shedding of his blood. His love was given to us through the Holy Spirit that comes into our heart and life the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we are to live in that love, to be in that same kind of love. He says, being of one accord and of one mind. And the only way for us physically to get to that place is to discern in our life and understand that our mind cannot be in unison with others unless it is in the mind of Christ. My thoughts, my actions are different than yours. Yours are different than mine. But when we're moving in the direction that God has called us in this morning in the life of the church, we can move in one mind. And Paul's call to the church at Philippi in these verses was for us to be of one accord and to be of one mind. He says in verse number 3, as we read there, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I want you to consider this morning the couple of words in this verse that are written for us. Let nothing, he says there. That's a big word there, nothing. And in every way in our life today, you think about nothing. In every situation of our life, he says, let nothing at all, anything that we do, let it not be done through strife or vainglory. It brings an opportunity of challenge for us this morning in the life of the church to think about the things that we're doing. For every one of us, probably in recent days, the things that we're doing are a little different than we're accustomed to. But the things that you're doing, for some of you, life has not changed much at all. Some of you have been used to social distancing. The jobs you have, that's just the joy of your job. You're alone doing the things you do every day, and that's not out of the norm for you. But you think about some of these things that God has called us to. He says, let nothing be done in any way in our life today. And I wonder, in our hearts and our lives this morning as a church, what the world might look like if this was the focus of the church. That in everything that we do, we would search for unity. We would search for peace and love and commitment to Jesus Christ. That there would not be strife. He says there that there would not be vainglory. There's not room in the church today for vainglory. That picture of vainglory brings a selfish attitude to the life of an individual today. And I wonder this morning how easy it is, even in my own life, oftentimes for me to begin to glory in the things that I've done and my accomplishments and my plans and my purposes. And Paul brings a challenge to the church here to not be in that vainglory, not to be putting our glory in ourselves, but to glory in the things of God. To glory in the movement of Jesus Christ and what he's doing. He gives us the opportunity for understanding how do we move past that vainglory. How do we move past the glory that so easily comes into my own thoughts and my own ideas? We move into this place of lowliness of mind, he says. The formula for getting rid of that vainglory in your life this morning is written right there in that verse. That we recognize lowliness. That we recognize humility. And we recognize that evidence through our one and greatest example, and that was Jesus Christ. We recognize this morning, if you consider the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior on this earth, we find every opportunity to see humbleness, lowliness, obedience to the Father's plan, to God the Father's purpose in His life and His direction. And we see in our minds this morning in the life of the church, and we would consider this morning, what does it really mean to be in this situation of lowliness of mind? He says, esteeming others better than themselves. I wonder today, in the world that we're living in this morning, what would it look like today if in our society, just make it personal this morning, in our own community, right here where we live and work and breathe, the things that we do, where we worship together in our church, what if the focus of every one of us this morning was to live with others first? To live with others in our minds and our hearts. He says to esteem, that is to lift up and to encourage and strengthen others better than ourselves. That we would look into our hearts and our lives and not demean the person that God has created us to be, but to look at others and to recognize the value that they have as we have in our relationship with God the Father. That we would look to every individual, no matter what walk of life they might be in this morning, what position they might be in physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, all of the things that the world likes to gauge as important this morning, we would look at individuals and see them through the eyes of Jesus Christ. We would know that He looks at us the same as He looks at them. And the call that He brings to the church this morning is to esteem others better than themselves. Paul gives us example throughout his words as we see it written to many different churches and many opportunities that he would rather see others come to know Jesus Christ. That his goal and desire was not to benefit himself, not to grow to a place of comfort and excitement and joy in his own life, but that others would come to the same saving relationship with Jesus that he had come to. And that we would come to a place in our hearts and our lives this morning that we would recognize what it means to esteem others better than ourselves. We look to encouraging one another. When we think about this morning, oftentimes in family relationships, that's a little easier to do. Oftentimes we might encourage or lift up others, our family, our close family, friends, husbands, wives, our children. We might be comfortable with those things. But what about the person next door? What about our family? What about our friends and our community? I was wondering just this week, I got home one evening and found this new sign in my front yard that told me that a grizzly lives in my home now. And I began to think, I was driving all over town this week and I found all these signs. Obviously, thanks to the school, there's some publicity in and around the town of Fowler. And I began to think about what it might look like if it was that obvious that a Christian lived in our homes. You know, what if as a church we had a sign in our front yard that said a follower of Jesus Christ lives here? And then when people drove down the streets and they drove past our homes, that it would not be a shock to them to read a sign that says a Christian lives here. To read a sign that said a follower of Jesus Christ lives here. And that it would not be a shock to them, but that it would be an obvious sign that honestly they would see and they would look at our yard and say, well, yeah, I already knew that about BJ, right? I already knew that about this person or that person. But the reality is of the church this morning that I would say that it might be a shock to some people if we stuck a sign in our front yard that said we were a follower of Jesus Christ. That it might be a situation in the hearts and the lives of individuals today that they may not recognize us as a follower of Jesus Christ, as He desires for us to be. Now consider what it might look like. I drove around the community and I saw some signs. I saw some signs in people's yards and I thought, man, I didn't know they were a grizzly. I didn't know they were part of this community. I didn't know they had been a part of this community going through college or school and doing all the things that they had done. I didn't trace them back to actually being maybe a Fowler grizzly or associating it with that. But I also noticed some other things. Some things that yards of people that I personally know, that I know didn't grow up here, didn't graduate here, but they still associate themselves as a grizzly because they live here, right? And there's some great joy in knowing that doesn't matter where we come from, the life that we live or where we've been, if we come to relationship with Jesus Christ, we're a follower of His. If we give our heart and our life to Him this morning, we ought to claim it. We believe in it and we live in it. And we're encouraged in those things. We know those things in our life. And it's the challenge of our life. He says that we would esteem others, that we would encourage others in these things, that we would build them up. He says in verse 4, continuing on, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I had a conversation just yesterday with some other individuals in Fowler when they challenged me as a pastor. I was talking about some of the challenges that I have faced in just the recent days, thinking about what church life is really like right now. And they asked me, well, has things really changed that much? And I said, well, it's different for me. Yeah, it's different for our church. Things are a lot different right now than we're accustomed to. But, you know, you think about some of these things, and the reference that was given to me by these two individuals I visited with for a few minutes was, what if the church is just the church, and it's not really about a building? And what if the church was about people that loved Jesus Christ and exhibited that to their neighbors and to their friends and to their community? And what if it didn't really matter if you had a church building to meet in or not? And I told them, man, it sounds like to me you've been reading your Bible, because that's what God says. And that's what God's called for us as the church. And as Paul challenges to the church at Philippi, he says that we would look, every one of us, to somebody else. We would not be consumed with our own things. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So it brings an indication for the follower of Jesus Christ this morning. Yes, we have to pay attention to our things. There are certain things in our life we have to stay in line with. There's direction in our life. We have to stay committed to those things in our relationship individually. But we have to be concerned with others as well. And right now, in the moment we're living in this morning, it's important for you as a body of believers to stay committed to Jesus Christ. And it's important for you to look to the things of others. To look beyond what we're struggling with individually and look to others that might need to know Jesus Christ. It's an example of the church. And as Paul is calling to the church at Philippi, this is the same message he's giving. Continue on with these things. Let this mind, he says in verse 5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he follows up his thoughts in this verse with, let this mind be in you. The mind we were just talking about. It is not my mind. It's not your mind. It's not my thoughts. It's not your thoughts. But it is the mind of Christ. Now we stop and consider this morning, what really does the mind of Christ look like? What is it that it means to be in the mind of Christ? And we consider this morning that the mind of Christ must look like a couple of things. First of all, love and compassion for others. The mind of Christ must be a mindset of sacrifice. So we really look at Jesus Christ, we see sacrifice, right? We see love. We see commitment to others. We see faithfulness to his followers. We see a desire in the heart of Jesus Christ throughout his scriptures to provide for others, right? How many times do we read in the scripture when Jesus, in his ministry on this earth, provided for the needs of other people? He met opportunities. He saw opportunities in their life. Those that were hungry, he fed them. Those that were sick, he healed them, right? He had those opportunities. God has given us opportunity in the life of the church to meet the needs of others. This is what it means to be in the mind of Christ. To be focused on a plan that is greater than the plan that I could come up with in my own life. To be focused to the plan of God the Father. Jesus faithfully followed the plan of God the Father by going to the cross. By sacrificing his life for you and I. For us this morning in the life of the church, to be in this mind means that we would always and continually be focused on the sacrifice that was given to us today. If we live our life this morning focused on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we're going to do things different. Our plans and our will is not going to be on me only. It's not going to be on the things that I want all the time. It's going to be focused on leading others to Jesus Christ and committed to his direction in our life and his obedience that he's calling us to. Let this mind be in you, he says, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, this joy, like-mindedness. In verse 6, who being in the form of God, he said, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now I wonder this morning in the life of the church, have you ever stopped to consider all the things that Jesus Christ left when he came to this earth? You think for just a minute what it is that Jesus left when he left heaven and came to this earth as a child. was born into the human nature, into the flesh that we have today. He was born through the same process that we see the birth process today. And he was born into this situation that we see today and that we call life. He says, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There's a description that we understand today that is very important for the Jesus Christ that we say we worship this morning, that we recognize the Scripture defines it as, the word we would use is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew what it meant to be in fellowship with God the Father. And he was a part of the things of God. And he says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he is God. It's important for us to define this morning in the life of the church, to know that Jesus Christ is part of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We recognize that through the Word of God, through the Scriptures that are given to us in other study as we read it and we understand it. He thought it not robbery to be in that relationship with God the Father, to be equal with God. But what? He made himself of no reputation. I would consider this morning, just from the standpoint of the world today, if somebody is in a position of leadership and status, it's obvious, right? If they're a position of authority today, we know it. They've got a title with their name. They've got a status position before the world around us. If we think about it today, we simply use something that might be relevant for our society that we live in today. We have a president that oversees the United States of America. Not really concerned with your thoughts or opinions about that. We're not going to get into those things today. But the opportunity to think about, there is a position of authority that is in our land today, and there is some status that goes along with it. And without a doubt this morning, Jesus Christ deserves top priority in our life this morning. He deserves the one position of authority in this world. And he deserves to be recognized as that. And Jesus Christ deserved, at the very moment that he was born into this earth, in that manger that the Scripture tells us he was born into, in the humblest, dirtiest place that somebody could have been born, God the Father sent his one and only Son. And he deserved more than that. But he chose something different. And I would encourage your heart this morning, if we're going to be in the mind of Christ today as the church, that we would set aside the things that we feel we deserve, and put ourselves in the place that God's called us to be. Put ourselves in this place of humility. He said he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant. And we'll find without all throughout Scripture, we find places of a reference of Jesus Christ as a servant. We see him humbling himself in servant attitude. Scripture tells us very seriously, as we think about the description just of his home and his family life, Jesus grew up in the home of a carpenter, right? He grew up in a place, I believe, I was thinking about this week. I've been working on a little project at home with my wife and kids, and we've been doing some building, and I've determined how much of a terrible builder I am. But I was thinking about this week, just thinking about what it would have been like to build things with Jesus Christ. You know, that he used his hands, and he worked. And a couple of those nights when I laid in bed and wondered why in the world I was doing what I was doing, because every muscle in my body hurt and everything that I wasn't used to doing, I was thinking, man, what it would have been like. And to read verses like this, that Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant, and he looked for opportunity to meet needs in people's lives. And he lived the life that we live. He knew what it meant to work. He didn't set himself up on a pedestal here in society, and he could have at any moment demanded that people would recognize him for who he was, but he made a decision as an individual servant of God the Father to be a servant. He made a commitment in his life to do what God the Father called him to do, and he took on himself the form of a servant, and he ministered in the hearts and the lives of individuals, and he got his hands dirty, and he was committed to what God had called him to do. And God is calling this morning in the life of the church for you and I to be in this place of humility and to put ourselves in this place of no reputation, but to come to a place of humility and service to God the Father today, to be in commitment to Jesus Christ, to serve him as he's called us to serve him, whatever that might be. I don't know where God's called you to serve this morning. You know that place. But I know that God's called us to that place. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of man. Means honestly this morning, if you consider what Scripture is defining for us and what Paul is reminding to the church at Philippi, that Jesus was walking down the streets and he looked no different than you and I. Scripture tells us actually a little bit further beyond that, that he really truly had no appearance that was appealing to people. He did not have the image that the world says we're supposed to have today, right? He wasn't worried about his six-pack abs and his healthy lifestyle and all those things. He was a servant of God, and he was not worried about the image that the world says we're supposed to uphold today. He was a servant of God, and that's what he was concerned with. And I wonder this morning in the heart of Solid Rock and all those that might be listening, wherever you might be listening from today, as a child of God, is it a priority for you today to be in service to God? Is it a priority for you to be in the image of God that he's called you to be in and not be consumed with the image of what the world says is important? But to be in the image that God has called you to be in. And to be in this place. Being found in a fashion as a man, it says there the very next verse, in verse number 8, being found in fashion as a man, he did something. He humbled himself. Right? And became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. He made a commitment to God the Father to do exactly what he had been called to do. And I want to encourage you this morning to consider what God has called of you. What God is asking of us as the church and faithful servants of Jesus Christ, that we would go to this place. And would you go to a place so far to go to a place of death? If you didn't recognize it this morning, I think we have evidence through many of scriptures in the Word of God that God has called us today as individuals to put to death the things of this flesh. To put to death the sins of our life and all of those challenges of life, and to come into fellowship and relationship with Him this morning, and to know His direction in our life and to be obedient to it. To be committed to what He's asked of us, of you and I. Death all the way to the cross. He humbly obeyed God the Father. We'll consider this morning the very next verse. Paul says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and he has given him a name which is above every name. No wonder this morning when we start out in our verses considering who is Jesus Christ. Have you considered just the name Jesus Christ? Have you considered what it really means to have that name, Jesus? It truly means Savior. That's what it means. Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's what he came here for. So a couple of things that we might consider this morning in the life of the church very quickly brings to my mind and my heart to an understanding that says, I can't have the name of Jesus, right? I cannot take on the name of Jesus. There is not an individual in this world that should take on the name Jesus, because there's only one Savior. There was only one Savior. There is still only one Savior. There will always only be one Savior. And his name was Jesus, and he was sent here by God the Father. And no matter how you might try today, no matter how much effort you might put into your life, no matter how good of a person you strive to be, you cannot save yourself. You cannot do good things. You cannot give enough money. You cannot show up to church. You cannot be a good enough person. The only way to know the Savior is to know Jesus. And it's the message that God has called for the church today, to live in relationship with Jesus Christ. To accept the free salvation gift that he gave us when he died on the cross. And when he shed his blood for you and I. You cannot be a good enough person to go to heaven. You cannot give enough money to the church. You cannot do enough good deeds. You cannot do all of those things and gain salvation. Salvation came only through knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the message God has given to us this morning as a church. And it's the call that he's bringing to every one of us this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you recognize that there's only one way. If you don't know him as your Savior, today's the day. Now's the opportunity to accept that free gift. It says that he came and God the Father gave him a name that was above every name. Savior. Scripture uses, in the Old Testament Scripture, we're given the word Emmanuel. That's God with us. God is with us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. When we come to saving relationship with Him this morning, it's an important challenge for us this morning as a church to live in the salvation of Jesus Christ, giving Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And I want you to know this morning that without a doubt, there is coming a day when every knee shall bow. And it's written for us right there in that verse, Paul says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, brings to our minds and our hearts today that there's an opportunity there. We have an opportunity. Every person across this land and across this universe has an opportunity. We either make a decision today while we're alive and breathing to bow before Jesus Christ to accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, or we choose to walk this life doing what we want to do, accomplishing what we want to accomplish, when we want to accomplish it, and then we meet Jesus later on. But one way or another, every person, every human being will bow before Jesus Christ. It's given for us in that verse. Every knee should bow. And He gives us a description of the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth. And if you didn't know it, that includes everything, right? It's pretty obvious. The things in heaven, the things in earth, the things that are under the earth. It brings us a great description to understand today. Probably in most people's minds today, if we were to ask, maybe just simply ask one of the youngest children that we could come up with, ask them, where does the devil live? What are they going to tell you? This is what we teach them in the church. This is what people pick up in the church, right? He lives down there, right? Where does Jesus live? Up there, right? It's no mistake, it's written in the Word for us that every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, where we live right now, and if we want to define it, in that place called Hades or hell, every knee will bow before Jesus Christ. That should encourage your heart this morning to know that the devil that runs around freely in this world and causing all kinds of chaos and havoc is going to give an answer to our God the Father. As the church this morning, live in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Celebrate what it means to know Him. If you don't know Him, now's your opportunity. Now's the opportunity to be the servant that God's called you to be. To live in relationship with Jesus Christ. To know that you made a choice right now on this earth to bow before Jesus before the day comes when every knee will bow. That we know when we get to that day, we're going to honor God and bow before Him because we love Him. And because we recognize Him as our Savior. And we recognize Him as the only way. And we recognize Him as the Word says, the truth and the life. This morning I would challenge your heart to consider you're not living the life God's called you to live if you haven't given your heart to Him today. You're not living the life that God expects you to live if you haven't died to yourself this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're still doing what you want to do in your life, never asking God for direction in your life, never searching the Word of God, never living in those things, you're not living the life God's called you to live. But oh, the joy that God would bring to your life if you would just do it today. And the relationship He intends for every person in this earth. In verse 11, Paul says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look what he says. To the glory of God the Father. Not for any other glory. Not for my glory. Not for your glory. Not for anything you could imagine today. But for the glory of the Father. The glory of God the Father, every tongue will confess. It's one thing to consider that every knee will bow, right? But then to consider that every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. The challenge for the church this morning is to recognize that we have to confess that today. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. We're going to stop there this morning in these verses of Scripture. But I want to challenge your heart to consider today. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What does it mean to live in the comfort of love and the bowels of mercy of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to live without strife and vainglory in your life today? And I would challenge you this morning, just as we always do, in this place where we're gathered together and wherever you might be this morning listening to the Word and the truth of Jesus Christ, we're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to give you what's called an invitation to be obedient to Jesus Christ today. I don't know what that means for you. Maybe today you can say honestly you've never accepted Jesus Christ's free gift of salvation. Maybe this morning, the first time you're hearing that there was a God that loved you so much that He sent His one and only Son to die on a cross for you. Maybe today's the first time you learned the true definition of the word Jesus. And you need to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. I pray this morning you'd quit making excuses, you'd quit setting that aside, and you'd just make it a priority right now wherever you are. In this time of invitation, that you'd say, simple prayer. God's given us a very simple direction. All you have to do, confess that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. That's as simple as it is. Because we're all sinners. We've all failed. We will continue to fail, but God's plan of salvation is given for us. Confess that you're a sinner and believe in your heart that God raised up His one and only Son as our salvation. Believe it in your heart and make a commitment today to do that. Maybe for those of you that can say you are a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe He's been calling you to do something else in your life. Maybe just a few weeks ago for Easter, we set up the baptismal waters. We didn't get to use it, but maybe now's the time. Maybe God's been calling you to get baptized. Maybe you're needing to take that next step of obedience and proclaim to the world around you that you're a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. You consider today one of the definitions we talked about. It's almost like putting that I'm a Christian sign in your front yard. When you take a step of faith and obedience and you follow in believer's baptism, that's what you're saying. I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not afraid to tell people about it. Would you be willing to do that today? If that's what God's called you to do? Maybe He's called you to come and be a part of this church. You can't be here physically, that's okay. You can still come be a part of this church. If God's called you to commit your life and your heart and relationship to being involved in the ministry of Solid Rock, come and do it. Come be a part of it. Put your name on the rolls. Put your name on the list. Say, hey, I want to be a part of this church. What's it take? Come and ask me. I'll tell you. We'll show you what it means to be a part of Solid Rock so you can be a part of what God's fixing to do. Because I'm convinced without a doubt God is moving in this place, in this community, in the world around us, and we're going to see Him do things we've never seen before. Now's your opportunity. Maybe you just need to spend some time confessing some sin before the Lord, making your heart and your life right today. You can do that wherever you are. You can do that in this place. There's an altar up front here. The invitation song plays. Come and get on your knees. Pray before the Lord. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. For those of you that are out there listening on the internet, watching via your computer or cell phone or whatever it is, if God's calling you to make a decision, I want you to call me. I want you to reach out. Without a doubt, we want you to do what God's called you to do. I'm only a phone call away, a text message away, however you want to do it. You can show up on my front door. It's okay. I don't have any tape marking 6 foot distance at my front door. You're welcome to come. I want you to do what God's called you to do. Would you be willing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the challenge that we've read from Your Word today. The reminder from Paul as he was writing to the church at Philippi, Lord, that You would bring the same challenge to our heart this morning as a church. Lord, do we be encouraged to know, Lord, that Your plan and Your purpose for this entire universe is for every individual to come to a saving relationship with You. And Lord, I pray, Lord, whatever Your will is here in this place and wherever Your word is being heard this morning, Lord, that individuals would make a commitment to You today, wherever they are. Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray this morning that they would make a commitment right now in this very moment, that they would pray. Lord, Your word tells us it's very simple. We just confess that we're a sinner, and we recognize in our heart and our mind that the only cure for our sin is to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, through an attitude of prayer, that they would simply just pray that, Lord, I confess my sin before You, and I ask You to come into my heart and to my life, to be the Lord of my life, to take control of my life today. I believe that the only way that that happens is through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice that He made on the cross. Lord, the prayer is simple. You've given us the pattern in Your word. I pray this morning, if there's someone that's listening that's never done that, I pray You'd help them to do it right now. Lord, that they'd be willing to make a commitment to do that. Lord, if there's someone here in this room that's never done that they would faithfully do that today. Lord, that they would know that if they took their last breath on this earth today, that according to Your word, they'd be in paradise with You today because they made a commitment to You. Lord, maybe there's other decisions, whatever it is. Someone needs to follow You in believer's baptism. I pray You'd help them to make that step of obedience today. Lord, we'll get the baptism waters ready to go, and we'll help them to follow in obedience to You. Lord, if there's other decisions that need to be made, Lord, maybe we just need to get alone with You and confess some sin so that we can be right before You again and be in fellowship. We need to dig into Your word and spend more time studying Your word and praying and discerning Your will and direction for our life. But maybe we need to get up off of our couch and go knock on someone's door and make a relationship right that's been wronged for so long. Lord, maybe we just need to know your presence today. Lord, I pray this morning above all that we would put you in first place in our heart. Lord, that we'd be the humble servants you've called us to be, and that we'd be willing to do and go and say and be the individuals you've called us to be today. Lord, that we might be a faithful church committed to your call. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. We thank you for what you're going to do in this invitation. And I pray you'd help us to just be obedient to you today. Lord, we're going to trust you. We thank you and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. If you're here with us in the building, I'm going to ask you to stand with us. If you're at home and you want to stand, I don't care. That'd be great. Stand with us in worship. We're going to sing. If God's called you to do something this morning, would you be willing to do it? Make a commitment to God the Father and Jesus Christ today. And thank you all for being here this morning and worshiping with us. I would encourage you, if God has moved and worked in your heart, you've made a decision for the Lord today, please feel free, reach out to us. We want to know what God's doing in your heart and your life. We want to be a part of that. We want to encourage you. Keep standing strong and faithful and committed to our Heavenly Father. Be willing to share. Just as we sang, Jesus paid it all. Let our conversation be about what Jesus has done for us. And see what the Lord does. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and presence in our life. I thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to praise and worship you this morning. Lord, through song, through your word, and study together as your church family. I pray, Lord, above all these things, that you are honored, that you are glorified. Lord, that you would draw your church together through this time, and that we might be a faithful witness and an example for you and this week, Lord, that our conversations would be an evidence of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we ask all these things in your most precious name. Amen.